If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the books were opened. This is one of those passages of Scripture that simply rises up to meet you as you approach it. And instead of reading through it and passing on as you do the more ordinary passages of Scripture, you stop and you draw back a bit, realizing that what is before you is the introduction of something so divinely awful and so solemn that mortals like ourselves can only hesitate and tremble. This is not the only mention of books of this kind in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul talks about his fellow laborers whose names are already recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is plain from these passages of Scripture that God has been employing a system of bookkeeping all his own. That is, he has been writing the story of your life and mine. Now, some people write their own biography. Sometimes we have others to do it for us. But God has a better record than any man can ever write. You see, in the record of God, the Bible teaches us that everything goes down. I remind you, I would have you to know that one day the books will be opened. And you and I will be there to face the record of our life. Yea, the past will live again, and by it we are condemned or we are justified. The Bible said God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Peter tells us that the time is coming when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. In that day, Jesus Christ will lay aside his mediatorial robe, and he will stand before you then as your judge. In that awful hour when the holy music of heaven is hushed, he will take the books and he will open them with a fearful sense of guilt. You will see his piercing eyes going through you as he comes to your name. There your life is recorded, and the question is, what will be there? Number one, things you should have done but didn't do will be found in the books. Reminds me of the story of the young soldier that was placed on picket duty. And he deserted his post in order to go and pick some violets to send back to his sweetheart. And while he was gone, a spy slipped through the Confederate line, or through the Union lines. And they discovered that General Grant's forces was much smaller than the Confederates had supposed. So the Southerners attacked. They captured the position. And later this young man was found out and he was shot. Oh, not for what he did, but for what he didn't do. It wasn't for the picking of violets. It was the fact that he did not guard his post. He was condemned to death. Not for what he did, but for what he didn't do. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. I'm convinced in this day where in which we live and in the Bible Belt USA that our problem is not that we don't know the will of God for our life. In fact, we know a whole lot more than we ever put into practice. It is just as wrong, the Bible teaches us, not to do what you know you ought to do as it is to do what you know you shouldn't do. What is a pastor's job? It's basically put you in remembrance of what you already know. God has a standard of righteousness. It is a standard, and it's not just placed in one little spot in the Bible and God says, now here's all the requirement. It's in this book. And in this book, it tells us how we are to live, from our attendance, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And brethren, we're living in a day when there's a falling away from the church, but don't you get in that crowd. You see, we're living in a day when hearts are growing cold and folks are leaving the church and leaving the cause of Christ. But don't you leave. You see, it's all real. It's all real. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, it's enough. And that cry will go out as an angel stands with foot and foot on the ground and one on the sea and cry out, time will be no more. And then we'll stand before God to account for how we've lived down here. I don't want to miss church. I love church. I love this church. But I don't want to miss church because I want to honor and I want to please the God that reached down and picked me up out of sin and washed me white as snow. I don't want to miss being in the house of God when it's appointed. And you know what the Bible tells us? The next verse says, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth therefore no more sacrifice for sins. I think he's trying to warn us the first step of backsliding and apostatizing is to just stop going to church like you ought to. It's not enough to know. We've got to put into practice what we know. You can talk about tithing. You can talk about loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And serving him, all of this is recorded in this book. God help us. We're passing through, and it's obvious by the fact of all the death that we've had around us and in our midst that we're not destined to stay here. So whatever you do, you better stay faithful to God. Amen. Because the books will be opened. And then things you ought not to have done will be found in the books. You see, your words will be there. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man speaks, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now the words that fall carelessly and thoughtlessly from the lips are those that reveal the real true nature of the heart. I can tell what you like when I talk to you for a few minutes. You can tell what I like when you talk to me for a few minutes. If you're a sports fan, it'll come out. Folks don't have to ask you. If you're a servant of God and you love the Lord and you want to give glory to God, folks will know that. Kind of reminds me of the story I've shared before about the young boy in the Central Avenue Free Will Baptist Church where I was growing up. He had a car, just got it. And there was a couple in the church that had their car stolen. Now, they saw in his car a one-of-a-kind steering knob. And they accused him of stealing the car. They liked to tore the church up. Well, they wanted the pastor, you know, to kick him out of the church, and they were going to call the police, and the pastor tried to hold it down, and they liked to tore the church up, and a few days later, they received a telephone call from the police department saying, "We found your car." You know what? That one-of-a-kind steering knob was still on that steering wheel. But they so embarrassed themselves that they left the church. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Love your neighbor as yourself. Uphold and guard their reputation. I'm going to tell you, I won't let anybody say anything bad about you. I'm going to guard your reputation. I know you. They may not know you like I do. But guard your neighbor's reputation. The Bible said the words of God are sweeter than honey, and the honeycomb, it just simply says to me, if I study the book, it's going to sweeten my vocabulary. Some folks are going to face an awful judgment because of their sharp and long tongues. They tell everything they know and a lot of things they don't know. It kind of reminds me of the revival. The preacher got up and preached on the long, sharp tongue, you know, gossip. This lady came up to the front and took the evangelist by the hand. He said, "What can I do for you, sister?" She said, "I want to lay my gossiping tongue on the altar." He said, "Well, it's 10 foot long. Use all of it you need." But you know, the Bible said, by our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. And the books were opened. And then things done in the body will be there. You see, the Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Kind of reminds me of a familiar story about the two farmers. One was a Christian, the other was a sinner. The old sinner man was always trying to discredit the fact that there was a God. He was an atheist. He owned property on one side of the fence, and the Christian man owned property on the other side, and he was always trying to have some kind of contest to prove that there was no God. He came upon a plan. He said, "Now I own the property here, and you own the property there. We're right next to one another. You plant wheat, I plant wheat. You go to church, you pray to God, you do everything a Christian's supposed to do. I won't go to church, and if there's a God, I'll curse him to his face, and we'll see who gives the most abundant harvest." Well, time rolled on by, and just the night before, the farmer looks out, and he sees a Christian man, sees it's going to be an abundant harvest for both of them. But it came up a storm that night, and it began to hail, and he got up the next morning. His wheat field was just beaten down. There wasn't hardly a grain standing. He looked across the fence, and the old sinner man's looked like nothing, no blade of grass or wheat had fallen to the ground. And so needless to say, the old sinner man had the most abundant harvest. Well, he was so excited, so elated, he told everybody he met, and finally he wrote it up and sent it to the newspaper, and the newspaper put it in verbatim just the way that he wrote it. But he put his own epitaph at the end of the article. But God doesn't settle all accounts in the month of October. And that's true. You see, a person may get away with sinning. living a terrible life. He may not pay you at the end of each year, but he will pay you in the end. You reap what you sow. You sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. You can live in drunkenness and debauchery. You can poison your offsprings with your wicked example. But remember, God will settle the account someday. On that day when you face the record of your life, you'll be overwhelmed by the awfulness of your sin against God. You'll be sobered by the truth that there is no escape and no mercy, for the door of mercy has been forever shut. You see, when a person goes into hell, there's a great gulf fixed between hell and heaven, to where those who go to hell cannot get out. They can never, ever go to heaven. Reminds me of the black minister from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who tried to win this man to the Lord. He was a wicked man, and the preacher didn't make much headway with him. The man died the way he lived, and he was called upon to preach this man's funeral. And he used the example of the fig tree. And he said, God came this first year, didn't have any fruit. And he said, dig around it, work it up. Do all you can. Pray. Do all you can. Came back in the next year, didn't find any fruit. This went on the second year, didn't find any fruit. And then the Lord said, give it one more year. And so one more year passed, and they came looking on that tree of this man's life, the fig tree. There was no fruit. And the Lord said, cut it down. The preacher used that as his text. And he said, this man lived in sin, and God was merciful, but God was just. And finally the time came when God's patience was at an end. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man as the manner of some is. And God says, cut it down. Well, the secret things will be there. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. There's some things about your life and my life that nobody else knows. But I'm telling you, God knows. I'm telling you, he knows exactly, because his eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's omniscient. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Sin is like a cancer. It will come out. It will reveal itself. I'll never forget the man that was in the hospital with cancer. His cancer was eating him up. And it started out on the inside, but it kept on growing. And there in the hospital room, you could walk into the room and you could smell the stench of rotting flesh as the cancer had eaten outside, and there was a massive sore. That's what sin is. Sin starts in the heart, a small thing, but it won't stay small. It just keeps on growing, and after a while, it'll control your life. And the books were opened. But the Bible said another book was opened. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who died for us and made it possible to have our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, as we have lived our life, all of the events, all the things that we have done, our life is recorded in the books. All of our sins. But you know, when you walk down the aisle and you knelt at an altar of prayer somewhere, and you confess Christ as your Savior and Lord, you asked Him to forgive you of your sins, come into your life and be your Savior. You know what happened? The blood of Jesus, that amazing life-giving blood of Jesus, came flowing down from Calvary's mountain and washed over your wretched soul and cleansed you of all your sins. And all the record of the past of your life, all of your sins, all the evil, all the vileness of your life was cast away as far as the east is from the west. Praise God that He wrote your name down after He blotted it out of the book. He wrote it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a blessing to be able to know that I'm a child of the King. And one day I'm going home. You know, I don't worry about death because I know where my life is. It's in His hands. I don't know about you, but I pray regularly, God, when I can't serve You anymore, when I can't be effective anymore, I want You to take me home. I don't want to stay down here not being able to serve. I want to be in the center of Your will for my life. And the books were opened, but another book was opened. I want to be in that, and another book was opened to have my name recorded there. You know, when I was 14 and a half years of age, I walked down to the aisle, and I knelt at that altar between two of my friends. And the preacher came down and prayed with me, Brother Jack Dodson. And I accepted Christ as my Savior that day. I didn't know much about the Bible, didn't know much about being a Christian, but I did know I was lost. I did know I was going to hell. And I knew I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go to heaven. But I accepted the Lord that day. I didn't just cry and get up and forget what I had committed, but I committed my life to the Lord, and I've never looked back. I don't plan on ever looking back. I'm going all the way home. Because I'm telling you, He's been faithful to me. He's cared. There have been times when I've been down, but He lifts me up. There are times when I've been discouraged, but He comes and wraps His arm around and said, it'll be all right. You see, we have a responsibility to occupy till He comes. I want to hear Him say, Carl, you've been faithful. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. I want to hear that more than anything else. Will you bow with me for prayer?